Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. On the first part of today's program, we're going to discuss wages for workers, especially state workers. Later in the program, we'll hear how listeners responded to the program yesterday about the impeachment of President Trump. But first up, according to the website Fact Check, wages for all private sector workers rose 2.5% in inflation-adjusted numbers during President Trump's first 35 months in office. As compared to what happened to workers in the 8 years of President Obama, real weekly earnings rose 4% for all workers during President Obama's time in office. As the economic recovery continues from the Great Recession, which took place from about 2007 to 2009, some workers in Florida have been left behind. They are state workers. Under the 8 years of former Governor Rick Scott and the Republican-controlled legislature, there were very few pay increases for state workers. State workers are rallying next Tuesday in several cities across Florida, including Tampa, to bring attention to their call for raises in the 2020 state budget, the budget the legislature is now deciding on in Tallahassee. We're joined now by a state worker. She is Veronica Contingiani. She's a tax auditor, and she's the president of the AFSCME Local 3104, which covers the area from Tampa to Naples. And Veronica, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on. I understand you're on break, so you only have a little bit of time.
That is correct.
But tell me, what are state workers asking for? You want a raise. When was the last time you had a raise as a state worker?
Right. So we're asking for a 3%, 5% increase and 2% COLA during the last 10 years. We haven't had a decent wage increase. We had, in 2017, people making over $40,000 made $1,000. And people under 40,000 made 1,400, and that was the same in 2013. In 2010, we actually had a 3% increase because we had to contribute to our FRS. So basically, for the last 10 years, we haven't been able to keep up with inflation.
So you've lost ground to inflation over the last 10 years.
That is correct.
And when in the past, when you've asked for Tallahassee to increase your wages, what have they said?
We go to negotiations with Department of Management Services, and they usually say that there's no money in the budget. We go into impasse, and it goes in front of the legislature, and there's never money for state employees.
Are some state workers eligible for public assistance because the pay is so low?
This is correct. Yes, we have we cover about 50,000 state workers, many agencies, Department of Health, Department of Children and Families, Department of Revenue, etc. And many workers have to have two or three jobs, and some of them qualify for public assistance.
What kind of work are we talking about? When we talk about state workers, what's the range of jobs that we're talking about that have not had a raise to keep up with inflation since 2010?
So basically, it's all career service employees, and it covers all agencies from all state agencies that provide services to the community. Department of Environmental Protection, Department of Health, Department of Children and Families, the Florida Wildlife Conservation, Department of Transportation, basically all state agencies, employees have not gotten a raise for the past 10 years.
Well, we're talking with Veronica Contingiani. She's the president of the AFSCME Local 3104, which is a state workers union. She represents the local for workers that includes the Tampa Bay area down to Fort Myers and Naples. So, Veronica, what's going to happen next Tuesday? What are you going to do next Tuesday?
So we're very excited because we're having these rallies throughout the state. We have them in Tallahassee, Jacksonville, Miami, and the Tampa area, and we're hoping to create awareness in the community and the public at large that state workers are the backbone of the state, And if we're not being compensated and we have to have additional jobs, we cannot provide the services that the community needs. And that's what all we're asking for. We're asking for the public support and all our state workers' support to come out to the rally and join us and help us make the legislatures aware that we need a raise.
Veronica, I know you're on break, but what would happen if state workers did not show up for work one day? Let's say you pick next Tuesday and you all stayed home. What would happen to the state?
Well, unfortunately, all the agencies would not be able to run, like Department of Children and Families, the children that need to be investigated. They wouldn't get services. Department of Health, the clinics wouldn't have vaccinations. Department of Juvenile Justice, the kids wouldn't get services. So it's basically we're running the state. So if we're not at work, the state actually doesn't run.
And where's the Tampa rally next Tuesday?
The Tampa rally next Tuesday is located at the Department of Children's Office, and the address is 9393. North Florida Avenue in Tampa.
Well, Veronica Contigiani, thank you very much. I know you're on break, and I know you got to get back to work, so thank you for coming on WMNF.
You're very welcome. Thank you so much for helping us spread the word out.
Thanks, Veronica. Good to hear you. Veronica is president of the AFSCME Local 3104, and that union local represents state workers from the Tampa Bay area south to Naples and the Fort Myers area. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. You know, usually at the top of the program, I play listener comments, but we got so many listener comments about yesterday's program. Yesterday, towards the end of the program, we opened up the phone lines to talk about the first day, the opening session of the impeachment arguments, and we played some of what the Democrats said yesterday as they were arguing that President Trump should be removed from office. Well, after yesterday's radioactivity program, we got a huge number of phone calls. So I'm going to play those right now, and I want to get your take on this. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. And the Democratic arguments in favor of removing President Trump from office continue today at 1 o'clock. But here is some of what listeners said yesterday about the first day of arguments. Listen closely and send an email in and comment about these. Our address, dj@wmnf.org.
Andy from Dunedin. One year later, callers yesterday on your show was touting on what a rock star Trump was. And, you know, I've never seen anybody have rallies the way he does. He does this to make himself feel good when everybody's poo-pooing on him because he's got such thin skin. And I would also like to check with the communities in which he has these rallies to see if they've been paid for. But that's not what we want in a president. I don't want a rock star. I don't want some TV personality up there. I want somebody with thoughtfulness who cares about the country more than himself. Trump is an absolute, I'm sorry, but he's a doofus. How can you just sit there and listen to him and look at him and not think anything else? And I'm guessing these people don't know anything about his history, especially going back to the 90s. But the man's a fool. So the economy's doing great. That's nice. But look at the charts. The economy's been going up since 08, people. It's got very little to do with the president. But all these great things Trump said he was going to do, he was going to give us great health care. And then what did he say? Oh, health care. It's such a complicated issue. Who could have imagined? Well, everybody in this country could have imagined except him, apparently. So this man is nothing great. He's made all these great promises that he can't keep. The economy is not his. He doesn't own it. And he's caused more problems left, right, and up the middle than anybody. The man is a absolute doofus. And I don't like to name call, but I don't know what else to call him.
This is Mike in Nokomis. Good show today. Good to hear somebody from the Republican side calling in. You know, obviously what we need is to be able to talk to each other in this country. I'm just a little tired of the only argument is look how great the economy is doing. because, in fact, my economy is not going well. The markets that I'm working in and the part-time job I have is not paying well. The fact is the economy's going good, and my 401k looks great. Everybody knows that. But, you know, if you give me an extra $40,000 a year on a Visa card, and we're deficit spending like drunken sailors, you know, you give me $40,000 on a Visa card, I'll show you lots of people that benefit from that. I'll show you an economy that works better, but it puts us miraculously in the deepest debts of our lives. We are trillions in debt. Everybody was complaining that Obama was spending money like a drunken sailor. Now we're spending money like a drunken sailor at the end of the night, and no one has any responsibility. Where are the fiscal conservatives that we were promised that's who they were? Where are the people that defend the Constitution that they said they were? My father was a constitutionalist. This would have killed him to see what's going on today.
Your last, next to your last caller, Mike, suggested that we should unleash Trump because he's doing such a wonderful job pumping trillions of dollars into the economy. But I can imagine a unleashed Trump would be a leader like Kim Jong-il in North Korea. I think his number one priority would be to torture and kill his critics and enrich himself even further. That would be the unleashed Trump that Mike wants.
Hi, this is Rob in Tenet Assassin. I wanted to comment on the first part of your show about the defense budget. Clearly, there's a lot of waste and a lot of pork going on in that budget, and that does need to be trimmed, you know, and we could get it down to where we're only funding those things that are necessary. And, you know, speaking to that, I think, you know, it is important that we maintain a technological edge and that we have weapons systems that are effective and that are superior to those countries who might challenge us, like Russia, like China. So why is that so? Well, one could argue that the world would be better because if we didn't have that advantage, but you could also argue that it would be worse from, say, the end of World War II to now. We don't know what the world would have been like if, say, we'd just gone and into a shell and become isolationists rather than being out in the world and using our advantage to maintain peace. So that's all I wanted to say, and that we have to be, we don't want to have Russia or China down the road, especially China, getting a technological advantage over us because we don't know their intentions, and whatever they are now, they may change for the worse down the road.
Hi, Rob. My name is Dave, leaving a comment regarding your Thursday 11 o'clock program on the discussion about the impeachment hearings. I think Adam Schiff and the House team are doing a good job, but I rarely hear public figures describe this crisis in what I think are appropriate terms. I think what we're facing is this is not old-fashioned partisanship. It's really Donald Trump, his cabinet, and the Republican Party leadership are fascist traitors to the United States Constitution. I don't think that's an overstatement at all. I think they're actively undermining constitutional order and rule of law. I think they're working to undermine norms of American democracy and suppress voter rights in the interest of one-party rule. And I think their supporters are, at best, unwitting dupes. And I think others are self-interested collaborators and confederates who can fairly be classified as enemies of liberal democracy. I think that's what's facing our country. I think we're at a crossroads. And I think the sooner most of us recognize what's happening here, this is not some kind of old-fashioned Democratic-Republican tussle. This is probably a fight for survival of American democracy as we know it, and we ought to start talking about it that way.
Hi, Rob. After watching and listening to today's show, it bothers me enormously that people keep saying that the economy is doing so well under President Trump, and they just don't want to upset that apple cart. Well, I just looked up how is the economy after the assassination of President Kennedy. And we weathered okay. And after the impeachment of Richard Nixon, we also weathered okay. we aren't going to have any problems, even after 9/11, as sad as it was. Granted, we had Al-Qaeda and we had all the war, et cetera, et cetera. But people still continued to go to work every day. Companies still continued to mass produce things. We still continued to buy things, and life went on. The world isn't going to stop if President Trump is impeached or doesn't get reelected. I don't know where they get it from. He's not God. It's not going to happen. The world will keep going. People will still be buying, and we will continue. And stocks will continue to soar, as they started to do under the Obama administration.
This is Jeff. We are having a day watching all this again and listening to what you had to say on the radio and your listeners, which I'm one of them. If it comes down to it and they do not convict, I'll just have to believe that Democracy Chained is a very, very true book, and I'll have to run out and buy it because I listened to what you guys played on the radio when you played that hour-long thing, and my God, it sounded far-fetched, but now it's starting to look like this might be real.
Well, there you have a bunch of comments that came in after yesterday's program. We talked mostly yesterday about the impeachment, but as you heard, we got a comment, too, about the interview about military spending and the enormous amount of waste in military spending. That was the first part of the program yesterday. On the impeachment front, the Democrats today at 1 o'clock will make their final day of arguments before skeptical Republican senators, I think it's safe to say. The final day will focus on the other charge against the president, that is obstruction of Congress. And Trump's defense team is waiting its turn, which will come beginning Saturday. And they'll do 3 days of arguments why the president should not be removed from office. Well, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And if you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, that's the number to call. You can also email the studio. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. We received one email so far. David writes, the awesome song Cult of Personality by the great band Living Color should be Trump's theme song. Trump has no substance, writes David, but a lot of moxie and crazed supporters. David's words here. However, I'm tired of his professional victim status. To the Trump supporters out there, I say, wake up. What the hell is wrong with you? This is David's words again. Don't support this con man. He's not worth your time or effort. All right. Well, that's David's words. What are your thoughts? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Email address, dj@wmnf.org. We're going to listen to a little bit of what was said yesterday as Democrats again made arguments that the president should be removed from office. And we're going to go to yesterday afternoon and hear from Congressman Adam Schiff, who is the lead floor manager for the Democrats, and he was talking about Trump and the Ukraine conspiracy theories. Let's listen in to what Adam Schiff said yesterday.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rena Ninen in New York, continuing our...
All right, so we are going to pick that up in just a moment.
...impeachment trial.
...itself, meaning that it was Ukraine that hacked the Democratic server, not the Russians. This theory was brought to you by the Kremlin. Okay? So we're not talking about generic interference. We're talking about the server. We're talking about CrowdStrike. At least that's what Donald Trump wanted to investigate or announced. This completely bogus Kremlin-pushed conspiracy theory. Now, I was also struck by that video you saw of Tom Bossert, the former Homeland Security Advisor for the president, in which he talked about how completely debunked and crazy this conspiracy theory is. And there was that, you know, rather glib line that was, you know, he admitted was glib, but nonetheless made a point, the 3 or 5 ways to impeach oneself, and the third way was to hire Rudy Giuliani. Now, it struck me in watching that clip again that it's important to emphasize that Rudy Giuliani is not some Svengali here who has the president under his control. There may be an effort to say, okay, the human hand grenade, Rudy Giuliani, it's all his fault. He had the president in his grip. And even though the U.S. intelligence agencies and the bipartisan Senate Intelligence Committee and everyone else told the president time after time, this is nonsense, the Russians interfered, not the Ukrainians, that he just couldn't shake himself of what he was hearing from Rudy Giuliani. You can say a lot of things about President Trump, but he is not led by the nose by Rudy Giuliani. And if he is willing to listen to his personal lawyer over his own intelligence agencies, his own advisors, then you can imagine what a danger that presents to this country. Now, my colleague also played for you that interview with Director Wray, and again, I was just struck anew by that interview. And in that interview, Director Wray says, "We have no information that indicates that Ukraine interfered with the 2016 presidential election." That is Donald Trump's director of the FBI. "We have no information that indicates Ukraine interfered with the 2016 election." None, as in zero. The reporter then says, "When you see politicians pushing this notion, are you concerned about that in terms of the impact on the American public?" And the director says, "Well, look, there's all kind of people saying all kind of things out there." Well, yes, there are, but this person was the president of the United States. When he says there's all kinds of people out there saying all kinds of things, what he's really saying is the president of the United States. It's one thing if someone off the street says it, but when it's coming from the president of the United States, you can see what a danger it is if it is patently false and it is promulgated by the Russians. And again, the reporter says, and we heard from the president himself, he wanted the CrowdStrike portion of this whole conspiracy investigated. And I'm hearing you saying there's no evidence to support this. And Wray says, "As I said, we at the FBI have no information that would indicate that Ukraine tried to interfere in the 2016 presidential election. None." And so you can imagine the view from the Kremlin of all of this. You can imagine Putin in the Kremlin with his aides. When one of his aides comes into the office and says, "Vladimir, you're never going to believe this. The president of the United States is pushing our CrowdStrike theory." I mean, you can almost imagine the incredulity of Vladimir Putin. "You're kidding, right? You mean he really believes this? His own people don't believe this. Nobody believes this." And it's not, I mean, it would be bad enough, of course, that the president of the United States believes this Russian propaganda against the advice of all of his advisors, common sense and everything else. But it's worse than that. It's worse than that. On the basis of this Russian propaganda, he withheld $400 million in military aid to a nation Russia was fighting, our ally. I mean, when we ask about, okay, what's the national security implication of what the president did? How much more clear can it be that he's not only pushing Russian propaganda, he's not only misleading Americans about who interfered in the last election, that he's not only doing the Kremlin a favor, but that he's withholding aid from a nation at war? The Russians not only got him to deflect blame from their interference in our democracy, but they got him to withhold military aid. Now, of course, there was this convergence of interest between the Kremlin and the president. The president wasn't pushing Kremlin talking points just to do Vladimir Putin a favor. He was doing it because it helped him. Because it helped him. Because it could get these talking points for him in his reelection campaign. And for that, he would sacrifice our ally and our own security. But nothing struck me more from Representative Garcia's presentation than that quote from Vladimir Putin from November of this past year, so just a couple months ago. Thank God, Putin said, thank God nobody is accusing us anymore of interfering in U.S. elections. Now they're accusing Ukraine. Thank God, Putin says. Well, you got to give Donald Trump credit for this. He has made a religious man out of Vladimir Putin. But I don't think we really want Vladimir Putin, our adversary, to be thanking God for the President of the United States, because they don't wish us well. They don't wish us well. They are a wounded animal. They are a declining power, but like any wounded animal, they are a dangerous animal. Their worldview is completely antithetical to ours. We do not want them thanking God for our president and what he is pushing out. We don't want them thanking God for withholding money from our ally, although we can understand why they may. And to me, that's what stuck out from that presentation. Now, we've walked through, in the first part of this presentation, the corrupt object of President Trump's scheme, getting Ukraine to announce these two political investigations that would benefit his reelection. And just looking at how baseless and fabricated the allegations behind them were made plain his corrupt motive. But in addition to this overwhelming evidence, there are at least 10 other reasons we know that President Trump directed his scheme with corrupt intent. There are at least 10 other reasons we know that President Trump was interested in his own personal gain and not the national interest in pressing for these investigations. First, the president only wanted these investigations to be announced publicly, not even conducted. Second, the president's only interest in Ukraine was the big stuff that mattered to himself, not issues affecting Ukraine or the United States. Third, the president tasked his personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, to pursue these investigations on his behalf, not government officials. Fourth, both before and after the July 25th call, the investigations were never part of U.S. official foreign policy. NSC officials, too, make clear that this was not about foreign policy. And other witnesses confirmed the investigations, in fact, diverged from U.S. official policy. Fifth, the investigations were undertaken outside of normal channels. Sixth, Ukrainian officials understood that the investigations were purely political in nature. Seventh, multiple administration officials reported the president's July 25th call. Eighth, the White House buried the call. Ninth, President Trump confirmed he wanted Ukraine to conduct investigations in his own words. And finally, President Trump did not care about anti-corruption efforts in Ukraine. Let's go through these one by one.
Well, we won't do that. We are going to open up the phone lines. That was Adam Schiff yesterday on the floor of the Senate making the case that President Trump should be removed from office. And again, our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Just want to mention one other news story, that hundreds of thousands of protesters were marching through Baghdad today calling for all U.S. troops to leave Iraq. The U.S. has about 5,000 troops in Iraq. Families and children were part of the march. There was lots of signs that said no, no to America and no, no to occupation. There was a heavy security presence, especially around the Green Zone, which houses the U.S. Embassy. The Green Zone has been the site of multiple rocket attacks that have increased in frequency since the U.S. attacked a site in Baghdad, killing Iran's most powerful military general and killing an Iraqi military leader, too. That targeted killing, which took place on January 3rd, sparked growing calls for U.S. troops to leave Iraq. Iraq's parliament voted to expel the U.S. military from the country following the attack, but the Trump administration has said it does not intend to pull its troops out of Iraq. Let's take some phone calls. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Peggy says this. Yesterday, she was watching MSNBC. She said it was said that calls coming into senators' offices were 95% in favor of more evidence and calling witnesses. And Peggy in Bradenton says, let's make sure our Florida senators get the same amount of phone calls. This could make a difference, writes Peggy. So if you think that there should be witnesses or should not be witnesses, feel free to call your senators. 813-239-9663. Let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Tom in Winter Haven. Hey, Tom, you're on MNF. What are your thoughts so far?
Good morning. I've been listening to the your show and, of course, also to the live presentations at the Capitol. But I just as a voter, a long-time voter from a county that went for Trump last time, I was not one of them. And I will say this. I will say that anybody that is president of the United States should certainly pay his income tax. I pay mine. I've got a bumper sticker that I'm going to be putting on the back of my car that says, I pay my income tax. I think that's enough said.
Okay, Tom, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. Now, the president promised when he was running for office that he would release his taxes, his tax information.
Just didn't do it.
Yeah. All right, Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, here's another email. This comes from Doug in Clearwater. Doug says, only in America do you go to war over yellow cake that does not exist with a country the size of a state. And according to Rumsfeld, and I'm quoting here, with the army you have, not the army you might want or wish to have at a later time. And then Doug goes on to write, to protect oil fields and with a plan to stay as long as you desire. Remember, Trump wanted to get us out, and Iraq says they want us out, but we are staying. We are building up the army some want to have, writes Doug in Clearwater. Yeah, the president did promise to get us out of all the unnecessary wars. 813-239-9663. Let's go to John in Port Richey. Hey, John, you're on MNF.
Hey, thanks for the show, Rob. A couple of things. I would bet that the Trump supporters probably think that Trump did nothing wrong by withholding aid from Ukraine to coerce President Zelensky to make a statement about investigating Biden and the Burisma. I lost my train of thought here. I bet you that none of them really listened to the hearing so far. So I'm kind of wondering if they have, and what do they think of that? They probably think it's all fake. And like, go back to the server with Ukraine. I bet you a lot of those Trump supporters believe that Ukraine really had something to do with hacking the election. I just think that's firmly planted in their brain, and there's just nothing you can do to convince them that that information is incorrect, even with all the U.S. government agencies saying there's no evidence that Ukraine did it. It's just embedded in their brain. And that's all I got to say. Thanks.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Yeah, I watched a bit of Fox News yesterday, and part of what was said all day long was that the hearings are not worth watching. Several people called the hearings boring. So, you know, I think there is an effort on Fox right now to try to get their viewers to turn away from the hearings. 813-239-9663 is our phone number, and let's go to Danny, who's in Tampa. Hi, Danny, you're on MNF.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Donald Trump, you said that he would was promised to show us his tax returns, but I guess he's still under audit, you know?
He did do that caveat. He said, look, as long as I'm under audit, I won't let him out. But,
right,
but the implication was
hard to believe that it's been under audit that many years.
Yeah, three years.
Yeah, hard to believe. I don't know what your impression of the hearings is, but I've been watching, and I think the Democrats have stated their case, thoroughly. and there's no doubt about it that he should be removed from office. The Republicans' defense is he did it, so what? We don't care. And Mark Beer was right; they don't care. And there's a lot of his supporters who couldn't care less. They couldn't care less what he does. They do not have the fortitude of the and the decency of the senators during the Nixon impeachment. Now, I want to say something.
Let me just stop you there for one sec. So you've watched the hearings for the last 3 days.
Yeah, I've watched it. But
all right. So are you the Republicans start tomorrow? Are you going to spend as much time tomorrow and the next 3 days watching the Republicans?
I'll watch as much as I watched the Democrats, which was not all day, but I'll watch some of it. It's an exercise of futility to watch it. It's an exercise of futility to even have this because they already made up their minds. They made up their minds already.
What if they come up with some new evidence or new argument that says the president is not guilty? What's that?
Are we going to ever have witnesses?
Well, not right now.
Okay. Listen, I wanted to ask you something different from the impeachment, and it's about Bernie. Have you heard that Barack Obama, I heard that this morning by Mike Gallagher, I don't know how true it is, that Barack Obama is going to go ahead and speak openly against Bernie Sanders and say that he should not be elected? Have you heard that?
I have not heard that.
Yeah, well, I heard, like I say, it's coming from Mike Gallagher. So you have to, to consider.
Well, you should just remind people that Mike is a very very conservative guy.
Oh, extremely right wing conservative. And also, there's a caller who called you yesterday, a very familiar caller. I'm not going to mention his name. That he's a big Bernie supporter, and he said, as am I. And he said that Bernie yesterday. He said, I think he called you and said that this whole impeachment thing was set up. He basically said that so Bernie cannot be on the campaign trail because the Democrats don't want him to be president. That is ludicrous on its face. That is the most hilarious thing I've ever heard. Yeah, they did all this not to get Trump, but to prevent Bernie from... He actually said that with a straight face. Now, they actually believe it. And he called NOLA the day before, listen to this, and said that, you know what, Bernie Sanders is a threat to the Democratic establishment. And I agree 100%, Rob. But he never, ever says an unkind word about Donald Trump, will blast the Democrats over Donald Trump, will blast any Democrat nominee other than Bernie, and this guy, Donald Trump, is a danger to civilization. And he won't even, as far as he's concerned, that doesn't matter. And that really gets under my skin. I'll tell you that right now.
All right, Danny.
When somebody is that blind, that's almost like supporting Trump, a cult-like, you know? And I have nothing against Bernie. I would love to see him win. And by the way, let me leave you with this. Mike Gallagher, again, considered the source, says that they're praying to God that Bernie is the nominee.
Okay. Danny, thanks a lot. Thank you for that.
Have a great week.
So if you want to comment about what Danny said, I did look it up, and I just did a quick search on Google for Barack Obama and Bernie. And the first three items that come up are all conservative websites. Fox Business, Washington Examiner, and Hot Air. And they all are saying that things like Obama reportedly considering a public statement against Bernie Sanders. So we'll see where that goes. I think we have to consider the source. I think, as I understand it, most Democrats want to try to keep the party together. And so I think it would be pretty unusual for ex-President Obama, coming out and saying something bad about Bernie at this stage in the campaign. But we'll see. We'll see where it goes. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. There is a conservative and a moderate wing within the Democratic Party, and they could be leaking that to the Fox News people, knowing that Fox News and the other conservative websites would like that story. Let's go to Bob in Port Richey. Bob, thanks a lot. I understand you support the president. Thanks for calling in.
I just want to make it real simple. Us Republicans, we're going to vote for Trump no matter what he does. We want him to be our next president. And hopefully, I'm pretty sure he will be. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about him. We don't care. We love Donald Trump, and we love everything that he's doing, and he's a good guy. He speaks out of turn a lot, but that's okay. He's not a politician. He's a a reality show host, and that's what we voted in. That's the best we could get. So we're enjoying them, and you guys don't enjoy them, then just be sad for another 4 years.
And Bob, why do you like everything that, President Trump has done?
He's just doing everything the way we wanted it done. We're agreeing with everything he's doing. Everything he's doing, we're agreeing with.
And there's nothing that he's done that has raised concern on your part?
No, not really. It's all water under the bridge. It doesn't mean anything what he's doing. His accomplishments is what makes all of us happy. A lot of Republicans don't like him. I got a buddy sitting next to me that hates the way he talks, but he likes his action. And that's it. He talks out of turn because he's that kind of a guy. He's a smartass. And that's
is there anything the president could do to make you turn against him?
Well, yeah, if he did something really bad, illegal, but he hasn't done anything illegal.
Could you give me an example of something he might do that would turn you off to President Trump?
Oh, let's see. Maybe commit murder. I mean, what else? I don't know what else he could do to make me not want to vote for him. I mean, you know, rape somebody. Well, Clinton did, you know. It's just we like him, and we're going to vote for him. And that's the end of the story. No one's going to talk us out of voting for him.
So there's no way you might hear an argument made on the Senate floor. There's no way that you're ever going to vote against President Trump, no matter what's said on the Senate during.
None of the people that voted for him are going to change their minds, because the alternative is what? What do we got? Socialism? What do we got? I mean, at least we'll still have our system here. We can't have.
And Bob, just one last question. Do you know how many years Republicans have been charging that Democrats are socialists? Do you know how far back that goes?
Quite a ways.
It goes back to FDR. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Bob, thanks a lot.
No problem.
All right.
Enjoy
great
show.
Yeah. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. The charge that Democrats are socialists goes back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt when he started things like the minimum wage, labor laws, allowed unions to organize more easily, created things like Social Security. And the charges of socialism continued in the 1960s against ideas like Medicare. You know, the charge of socialism has a long history. Republicans have made it since the 1940s against Democrats. 813-239-9663. What did you think of what Bob just told us? Let's go to Chris in Bradenton. Hey, Chris, you're on M&F.
Hello, M&F. I've just tuned into your show. I've never heard it before. So along the way, I've come to the conclusion that I have a question for you. And it's for everybody out there. And one thing I notice about your show is you're a pretty good host, but there's a lot of there's not a lot of clarity in what people are talking about. And I noticed that you were talking about the money released to by the president to the Ukraine. And I also know there was the Joe Biden. You know, everybody's shown it on the video, the quid pro quo to release the money.
Yeah, I played the Adam Schiff part of the Adam Schiff statement from yesterday afternoon.
The question is, once each of those piles of money was released, where exactly did it go, and what exactly was it used for? That's it, and I'll get off and let
okay,
you guys.
Chris, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. You know, I don't know exactly where it went, but there's a really good timeline at publicintegrity.org, and it makes the case that in May of 2019, the CIA had notified Congress in a letter that Ukraine has taken substantial actions for the purpose of decreasing corruption and increasing accountability. This is May of 2019, before the famous phone call. And the CIA said that the Ukraine has met all conditions for the remaining U.S. aid to be provided. That was May of 2019. Then you go through all the stuff that we've been talking about, the Rudy Giuliani visits to Ukraine, the phone calls and everything else. And you go through June, you go through July, you go through August, and the aid wasn't released until September of 2019. So, and that happened on September 11th. You can make up, you know, I don't have the answer to Chris's question, but if you want a link to that timeline about when the aid was okayed and when it was released, I'll send it to you. Just send me an email here in the studio. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Patty Perkey and Frank Knox are behind the scenes making this program work in the phone room. And let's go to Diana in Tampa. Hi, Diana. You're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I wanted to respond to the Republican that said he loved Donald Trump and there was nothing he could do. And I think that is the best argument not to fight the Democrats, not to fight over additional witnesses, because even if there is a vote for witnesses, then it's going to be big and long extended fights over executive privilege. And we pretty much have known third hand or by hearsay what John Bolton had said through Fiona Hill and others. And if he were to contradict her, Trump and the Republicans would bring them as a witness themselves.
Okay. Diana, thanks a lot. And I'm sorry, I think that phone problem is at our end. I think we've got a bad phone a line on line five. Thanks, Diana, for calling in. Let's go to Bill in Lakeland. Hey, Bill, you're on WMNF. How are you?
Hey, Rob. Good morning. I'm doing good. Enjoy your show. I'm just, I'm feeling very cynical lately. I remember Trump. I lived in New York years ago when Trump was avoiding Vietnam by going to Studio 54 and partying, and a lot of people don't know Trump from before 2016. But my main question, I guess, it's very troubling hearing some of the callers say they'll never change their mind about about Trump, that they're going to vote for him regardless. And it's just troubling to me that what kind of country, I was interested in your opinion, what kind of country are we becoming when it's fairly obvious what this guy's been doing as far as nationally and internationally. And what kind of people are we becoming where it's okay, that's all right? I mean, like the other caller said, you know, they must, Putin's rubbing his hands together and laughing at what's going on here. And I just wonder, you know, where are we going as a country when this mindset is at least 50% or even prevalent? And I'll take your comments.
All right, Bill, thanks a lot. I don't like to talk too much, but let me just say quickly, I've been voting since 1972 for a president, and I cannot say about anybody that I voted for that I'll always vote for that person no matter what they did. I could never say that about anybody. There would be times where I would have to say, you know, if they did this or did that, I couldn't vote for them. And I find fault in every politician. I'm not one of those people that loves everything a politician does. I think that is kind of unusual to find somebody who loves everything a politician does. I wish there was a politician who I loved completely and agreed with completely. That hasn't happened in my lifetime. Let's go to John in St. Petersburg. John, you're on MNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob.
Hi, John.
After listening to Bob's praise of Trump, the Republicans really need to understand how angry people are. I mean, if you keep pushing our buttons, I mean, something bad's going to happen. So
what bad would happen, John? John, what would you do? I mean, what kind of bad would you do if I could?
Well, I'd like to meet Bob and really have a set to with him. I mean, because it's...
Yeah, but are you talking about... What are you talking about? Picking a barroom fight with him, or...?
It's so frustrating when you see obvious criminal activity and people are saying that's okay.
And yeah, the answer is not to ratchet up the anger or the violence.
But the thing is, Rob, it's a natural human instinct. If you keep doing this, you keep poking a dog, the dog's going to bite you, you know? I mean, that's just my opinion on it. But
I got to say, John, I like you, but I hope you don't meet Bob in a bar.
I hope I don't either.
Okay, all right. John, thanks a lot. All right, great to hear from you. Let's go to Charles in Tampa, who wants to talk about Bill Clinton's record. Charles, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Actually, they overheard me muttering to something that Bob said that was inaccurate. But I am calling about Bob. First of all, I very much respect his civility. And he is the perfect poster, I don't mean to be insulting by saying child, but for the fact that the Republicans and the righteous wing in this country has become a religion. There is no amount of facts, history, logic, reality, or reason that will get them to do anything other than worship their God, who is Donald J. Trump. And he made it very, very clear. It perfectly underscores one of your recorded comments that this is a turning point in the country. We are very much talking about the continuation of, or the end as a failure of, our experiment in democracy. We've been an oligarchy for decades, and at this point we are becoming a fascist oligarchy, and that is the choice that needs to be made. And people like Bob are just glad that whoever they want makes them feel good. They don't know why they want him. They can't point out one good thing that he's done. It doesn't stand up to any scrutiny at all. And this is a big watershed moment.
And President Trump did boast himself. He said, I could shoot somebody on 7th Avenue. And people would follow me.
And Bob did say if he murders someone or rapes someone, you know what? Let's do a thought experiment. What if he did murder someone? How would Bob explain it away? Or I should say, how would Sean Hannity convince Bob? Thoughts are their opinions. They are positions they've chosen to regurgitate without being able to explain them and clearly without understanding them.
All right, Charles, thanks a lot. Thank you very much. A great call. I do think that Bob was a civil caller. I do think, though, that I wonder about anybody that would follow any leader 100% or at least 99%. Now, Bob did say he wouldn't support President Trump if President Trump murdered or raped somebody. But that's a pretty wide lane that you're giving that politician. And I got to say, every politician I know, and I'm friends with politicians, there's not one that I would agree with 100%. Bubba writes this, looking forward to Giuliani being thrown under the bus by Trump. He deserves all the bad news about because of his dirty deeds. I want Parnas to spill the beans, writes Bubba. Well, you're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa, and it looks like Dave in Tampa has been holding the longest. Dave, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Love your show. I had to call. I never usually call in on these shows, but I heard what that last guy said about Trump. You know, would only have to do. You know, if he had murdered somebody or raped somebody. My father lives in South Florida, and he would hold hands with Donald Trump and jump off a cliff with him, no matter what. And we didn't talk for 4 years because of the war in Iraq.
Why do you think the president inspires so much loyalty in your dad?
He's just a longtime Republican. His wife was Republican of the Year in '84. That whole side of the family is totally for Trump. His son even posted something about, his stepson, my stepbrother, he posted something this morning on Facebook, and it showed the unemployment rate through the presidents from the first Bush down, and showed that, Obama's unemployment rate was higher than Ronald Reagan's. Ronald Reagan was at 9%. Obama was at 9.2, but you got to understand what he inherited.
Yeah, that was the start of the Obama administration, not the end. At the end, his unemployment rate was pretty good.
Exactly, and he had, I don't know how many weeks or months of continual progress because of the mess he inherited. My dad is one of those that would say that Trump inherited a heck of a mess. I don't know. I think he even blamed Bill Clinton on the war in Iraq.
Yeah, no, Trump did not inherit a mess. He inherited a really good economy. You know what's interesting, though, too? President Trump has promised to work on the deficit, and now we have record federal debt because of President Trump. And the old Republican Party would say, we're against debt, but no longer. Dave, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
All right, great to hear from you. All right, that's nice of you to say. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back Monday at 11 o'clock right here on 88.5 FM WMNF in Tampa. Stay tuned for Janelle Irwin. She's coming up right after the NPR News.